Now, you may have seen the story. It's a bit of a strange one. A litter of piglets who were saved from a barn fire in England 6 months ago. What did they do with the piglets? Well, the firemen went in and rescued them, and there were jumps of, you know, there was celebration and joy because the wee pigs weren't burnt to death. And that happened 6 months ago. So in the meantime, the wee piggies grew to be bigger piggies. And the owner of the farm was so pleased that the farm had been saved that she cooked the pigs for the firemen. Yes, they saved the pigs and were rewarded in the form of sausages that were made from them. Some people are not happy with this. And let me speak to Clifford Grant. Clifford, good morning.
Frank, good morning. How are you this morning?
I am very well, Clifford. This is the sort of thing you as a vegan would not be in favour of.
No, Frank, absolutely not. And I think we need to all take a step back for a second and consider what has actually happened here. So 6 months ago, these firemen demonstrated the best traits of humanity. I mean, they risked their own lives to go in and save these animals. And the reason they've done that is because they felt compassion and empathy for the suffering of these piglets. And then 6 months later, they've demonstrated what I would call the worst traits of humanity. And they treated the deaths of these innocent beings as a joke. And they reveled in consuming their dead bodies and showed no compassion or empathy whatsoever. And they've completely forgotten that it takes nothing away from a person to be kind to animals.
Well, there is another way of looking at it. They did rescue the animals. They saved the farm. They saved many bales of hay. And they saved the livelihood of a woman called Rachel Rivers, who owned the farm. And as a result of her joy and as an expression of her thanks, she had a celebration. It was a celebration that involved the eating of pork. And those actual pigs were within the dish. The pigs did continue to grow as they would have grown. The pigs would have been disposed of in a humane way, and they're eaten like any other piece of pork is eaten.
Yeah, Frank, I understand all those points, and I go onto the streets all the time, and we do vegan advocacy, and we talk to people about this. But my point would be that, from my point of view, animals are not ours to use, and killing them is completely cruel and unnecessary. We can live a happy, healthy lifestyle without doing this to these animals. And at the end of the day, these animals, they want to eat and live and raise their young without being harmed. And what happens to the animals in these farms is absolutely terrible. I don't know if your listeners are aware of it. I mean, they're artificially inseminated. Their tails are docked when they're young. Their teeth are clipped without anaesthetic. The treatment of these animals is completely inhumane. There's nothing humane about it. There's a film has been released recently which shows people exactly what happens to these animals in farms and slaughterhouses. It's called landofhopeandglory.org, and it's free to view. And I'd encourage all your listeners to go on and have a look at that film and see exactly what they're paying for when they go into the supermarket and they lift a little pink packet that just seems like food. But that food at one point was a living, breathing being that feels pain and has the ability to suffer just like you and me.
Do you not believe that farmers the length and breadth of Northern Ireland, and we should emphasise that Rachel Rivers is not from Northern Ireland, she's from across the water in Wiltshire. It's not the local fire service, nor is it indeed a local farmer. However, she would be rearing her pigs exactly the same way as farmers here rear their pigs. There are very strict rules, regulations and guidelines in relation to animal husbandry, and there isn't the cruelty on farms that you're describing there.
Yeah, well, Frank, that's okay to make that point, but at the end of the day, 90% of the pigs that we consume in the UK come from factory farms. We have a new one being built in Newton Abbey just at this moment in time, and there's planning permission in for one in Limavady. And on these farms, there's anything between 15,000 to 30,000 pigs at any one time. The breeding size they get at the worst, they're kept in gestation crates for 3 to 4 years. It's a crate that's 24 inches wide by 7 foot long. She's there for 4 years. She'll go through 8 or 9 periods of pregnancy. She can't turn around. She can't walk. And then her babies will be taken to a slaughterhouse when they are 6 months old. Now, these pigs will live in a natural life span of 14 to 15 years. We take them to a slaughterhouse. The first day they will ever see the sunshine, or see the hedgerows is the day when somebody comes into the pig factory and forces them onto a truck and takes them to a slaughterhouse. And they're babies. They're 6 months old. And people like to talk about free-range, cage-free, humane-certified farms. I've been at these slaughterhouses, and all these animals end up at the same place. They all come to the same slaughterhouse, and they all die the same cruel death. It's absolutely terrible.
But is it a cruel death, Clifford? Are they aware that they're being killed? Surely they just arrive in, they get stunned, they get slit, and they're dead.
No, Frank, pigs are very intelligent animals, and when you see them coming in, they already know that something is wrong, and they don't want to get off the truck. That's the first thing. So somebody gets on a truck with a prod and forces them off the truck and forces them inside. Now, the method we use to kill pigs, the most humane method, we use gas. Now, that sounds like you go to the dentist and he puts you to sleep nice and easy, but the gas we use to kill pigs is an aversive, cheap gas. So they're forced, they see their brothers and sisters and their friends going inside the gas chamber and they panic and they try to get out. They can't get away. And the ones inside die the most horrific death you will ever see. It takes between 2 and 3 minutes. And the panic and fear in those animals, I've seen the footage myself. You can go on YouTube yourself and watch it at any time. Just Google gassing of pigs and the footage is there. And honestly, if you watch that and tell me that it's humane, well then I just have to shake my head and believe that you're lying to me, because it's absolutely atrocious. There's nothing humane about it. Humane means to show compassion. How can you humanely kill something that doesn't want to die?
But they are reared for food. They wouldn't be here at all if they weren't reared for the pork industry. And there are rules that stipulate that the dispensing of the animal has to be in a humane way.
Well, Frank, let me tell you a wee story about humane that I heard recently. And it's a Second World War story, and it's about a German commandant and his men were executing children from a village. And his guards were grabbing the kids by their hair before they were shot in the back of the head. And he didn't like this. And he said to the men, "Stop grabbing the kids by the hair." And I quote, "Kill them in a more decent way." And personally, I find that story as sickening as the stories I hear fed to us from the meat and dairy industries and what people tell me on a daily basis. Because people say, "I only eat animals that are humanely killed or they come from cage-free organic farms." There's no such thing as humane when it comes to the meat and dairy industries.
Clifford, is it fair of you to put in your argument a comparison to the Holocaust whenever you're talking about livestock that's been reared for a family meal?
Well, Frank, these animals are enslaved. And if you don't think they're enslaved, well, what are they? Are they free? I don't think so. They're forced into they're kept in what I would call, in these factory farms, thousands and thousands of them. They're forced onto a truck, and then they are taken to a place where they are forced inside and gassed to death. So, okay, people maybe don't like the comparison, but the comparison for me is there. And the guy who started the animal rights movement in Israel was a Holocaust survivor. And he said he started the animal rights movement in Israel because he said he saw what happened to them and he saw what happened to the animals now, and he's seen no difference whatsoever. At the end of the day, Frank, there are millions and millions of dead animals cut into pieces that are testament to the fact that there is no way to humanely kill something that does not want to die. And when people talk about kindness and love, well, talking to me doesn't mean a lot. I think we should practice kindness and practice love and give it to others. And others, for me, there is no arbitrary line from cats or dogs or people. We should be kind and compassionate to all living beings.
Okay, Clifford, very clear on your thoughts on it. If there's ever been a known goal scored by Rachel Rivers and indeed the pork industry, it's this story whereby the pictures of the barbecue have now been taken down from the Dorset and Wiltshire Fire and Rescue Services Facebook. Just if you are joining us late, just to explain to you, the fire service in Wiltshire saved the lives of a considerable number of piglets And 6 months later, as a celebration for saving the farm, the owner of the farm, Rachel Rivers, invited the firemen to a barbecue where she cooked the pigs that the firemen had saved. Now, it seems like an own goal because people like Clifford, understandably, are being invited on to radio programmes and television programmes to talk about their feelings with regards to those pigs. Do you work in the pig industry, and would you like to have a say in relation to how pigs are reared and bred and reared here in Northern Ireland, and what exactly does happen to them when they go to the abattoir? Is it as stark as Clifford is saying? Is it a situation in Northern Ireland where it's stunning and slitting? Is it a situation in Northern Ireland where it is actually gassing? I'd like to hear from you. 90 333 105. And someone like Clifford, too emotional to have on the radio in relation to what is basically a foodstuff as opposed to a creature or a being. Your opinions on this, I would like. 90 333 105. And when you're in the supermarket and you're buying your sausages or you're buying your ham, do you stop to think where it actually comes from? Do you visualise a little piglet or a pig or something with a beating heart and, you know, a breathing system and emotions and feelings? Does any of that cross your mind? Or do you simply see food, and food is incredibly important for all of us, and do you give consideration to the fact that these animals wouldn't exist, they wouldn't even exist, if there wasn't a demand for the food? And food, obviously, as I say, is absolutely necessary. So your opinions are welcome. 90 333 105. But thanks to Clifford, who very strongly put the point of a vegan. Julie's got a point. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Frank. Yeah. Hi, Joe.
I'm very well, Julie. I'm very well. Go ahead, Julie.
Frank, my uncle's... Oh, sorry, hold on. I'm going to turn this radio down. My uncle's a pig farmer, and he's quite right. The wee pigs do know when they're going to the slaughterhouse. You can hear them squealing at 4 o'clock in the morning, getting took out to the truck. Now, I don't know what happens in the slaughterhouse, like, but they know.
And do you think they, if they were being taken out, say, to be put out to a field, and they were being put in the truck, and they were being taken to a lovely, lush pasture, would they know that they were going to lush pasture and not squeal? Is it not just the mentality of a pig that if you try to corner it, lift it, shoe it, shove it, it will squeal anyway?
Okay, you're right, but from what I've experienced, like when the lorry comes at 4 o'clock in the morning to take them to the slaughterhouse, they do squeal and they know. And to get them on to the lorry is quite a task.
Yeah, there is a very strong argument that a pig is an intelligent animal. I've read, yeah. read a bit on this, and, you know, you're dealing with an animal that is higher up the intelligence spectrum than some others. There is evidence to suggest that. Now, if you do rear an animal and you fatten it up and you take it off to market, there are two ways of looking at it. One, it's a business, it's a tradition, it's something people have been doing for generations. The other side of the coin is the way Clifford described it, where it does basically sound horrific.
Well, they do know, definitely. But I think if they were put out, there's too much of it. There's far too much food waste. You know, if it was one or two maybe took away and maybe a couple left to breed for the farmers... But there's too much of it being done, you know, it's mass produced. But I agree with them, like, to me, nothing's free range. It's same with a chicken, you know, it can't even flap its wings, you know.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. You're very much singing from Clifford's hymn sheet, whereby the mass production of these animals would lead most people to basically accept that it's not much fun being a pig or a chicken if you're only being fattened for someone else's plate. Phil is a farming stock. He's on this line. Good morning, Phil.
No, no, not me, Frank. Good morning, by the way, but I'm not a farming stock. I just have an opinion, sort of.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were a farmer, but Phil, go ahead, go ahead.
I just feel like I couldn't do their job, so I couldn't, you know, but I do, there is a moment when I am getting meat or whatever, meat, I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm just looking at it. Most of the stuff I wouldn't be able to cook anyway, Frank, but sort of slices and stuff like that isn't a problem, you know, but I do think there is something that puts me off, like, you know, getting some of that meat and stuff like
but
that.
But what is it that puts you off? Is it the look of it in the butcher's shop? Is it the look of it in the polythene packet? Or is it the thought that this was a wee animal that could have skipped through a field, probably didn't skip through a field, that was in some form of factory-produced outlet somewhere?
To be honest, Frank, I wouldn't know how to cook most of it, so I wouldn't, you know. But I couldn't imagine, like, doing that job either at the same time, you know, slaughterhouse or something like that. I couldn't do that, you know.
Yeah, this is a very interesting point that you do make. I'd love to speak to someone who works in a slaughterhouse. We're bound to have listeners who get up in the morning and that's what they go to do. What does that feel like? Do you have any empathy at all with the animal? Or is it just like, you know, people who would work in the recycling centre punching cardboard and putting it into a skip? You know, I simply don't know. So if you work in the abattoir, talk us through what a day's work involves. Joe's on this line. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, Joe.
Great phoning in. I love your show. It's amazing. Love it.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Thank you.
And this debate is just, as soon as I saw it yesterday on social media, I was just, it's horrible. Absolutely horrible. I turned vegan 2 years ago. I used to eat meat for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Didn't think anything of it. I just grew up, ate all meat, all fish, you name it. And then I came across a YouTube video and it just turned me straight away. So I went vegetarian first and then I did Veganuary in January, which is like the trial to become vegan, basically, and found it difficult, but now it's just part of day-to-day life, really.
Just point out for me, Joe, what have you left out of your diet? Obviously, you don't eat any meat products, but what else have you left out?
Dairy as well. So dairy, eggs, and all meat. So I started off vegetarian, which was difficult because, like I said, my consumption of meat was very, very high. So I just straight away swapped it for all meat substitutes because I thought it'd be really difficult. So, you know, corn and Linda McCartney, all that kind of stuff. And then it's just a case of replacing things for more natural whole foods, really, like beans and lentils and chickpeas, stuff like that. And obviously, the more research you do, obviously the easier it gets as well. So it's, it is a terrible industry. I'd like to think that people are consuming a lot less meat, and each to their own. I mean, I eat meat for 25 years, and, you know, all my family still eat meat and still eat dairy. I'm the only one who doesn't, really, to be honest. So it is each to their own, but you can't humanely kill an animal. It's just not possible.
And do you avoid leather shoes, stuff like that? Do you take steps in that direction, if you excuse the pun?
No, definitely leather shoes, couches, things like that. I did have a leather couch that I recently sold. That I sold about a year ago. But it is, I personally started with food and then things like cleaning products, you know, that don't test on animals, aftershaves, hand washes, things like that. So I started with food and then started to go on, you know, from domestic household products, so on and so forth. Some people will start with the non-testing of animals first and then go to the food. So it depends obviously your forte, to be honest with you, but I think it is more publicized nowadays, and obviously the awareness is greater, so I think the research and education is there for people now, but it is each, you know, people have their own opinions, and, you know, people can eat whatever they want. I understand that. I come from a family that no one would ever consider becoming vegetarian or vegan, but I think the options are there nowadays, and it is much easier.
Okay. Joe, thank you. Thank you for that. Is it something you're giving consideration to? Do let us know. And is it because of a story like this morning and because of what Clifford and the likes of Joe have been saying, that you actually have some empathy, some association, some sympathy for the little animal that's caught up in the debate?
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Conversation for you.
Right, good morning. It is 25 to 11. Thomas is in this line. Morning, Thomas.
How's it going, Frank?
Very well. Many's a man called Thomas does ring us on this show. We actually did a little survey and we discovered that you're more likely to be phoned on the radio by someone called Thomas, Robert or Elizabeth. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is indeed.
So go ahead, Thomas.
Well, I just think there is the issue. I think the guy I was touching on it previously there, I had to sort of tune it out because I was waiting on the line. But it's just the point that we actually can live healthier without eating animal products. And I get that, you know, culture and tradition, that's the way we've been brought up to think. And Northern Ireland being such an agricultural place, mindsets are very much ingrained with a certain way of life. But, you know, it's just in the face of new information, scientifically verified, you know, we just don't need to eat animals. So if we can live happy, healthy lives without causing suffering, why would we? And my point is that we've been sort of socially conditioned to have these outlooks and thoughts. They aren't actually our own attitudes. They're put onto us when we're children, very impressionable. You know, it's taught in an environment such as a school where you don't question the figures putting this information to you. And yeah, I think when we think for ourselves and when we look at animals as well, there's clearly someone else. You know, there's clearly someone behind those eyes. Animals aren't things, but we've reduced them to things like shoes and sandwiches. And, you know, you look around society, billboards, advertisements on the TV, it's being pushed upon us everywhere, like deals for food. Animal products are like, you know, they're all around us. So that has an effect on our perception of our reality. And I think we should consider alternatives these days, because we live in a time where we're privileged enough to have alternatives.
Well, on the alternatives, Thomas, because this is important, how would you feed the 70 million British people or whatever if you did away with meat?
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure the exact statistics, but I know for a fact that, say, 1 acre of land can yield much more vegetation than it can yield of animal flesh. So there would definitely be enough land on the planet to grow food to feed people.
So we'd all have to be eating some soya derivative or something that had nothing to do with rearing an animal.
Well, I mean, I just like to point out that as vegans, we still eat tasty, delicious food. It's not as bland as people on the outside looking in think. And I think morality comes into it as well. We have to question, like, what is the right thing to do, you know?
Well, let me stop you, Thomas, because I've often admitted on this program that I'm not very good in the kitchen. And you can maybe help me here. What do you eat instead of cheese?
Instead of cheese, man, there is a vegan version of cheese. It's made of coconut oil. It's in Tesco's. It's right beside the cheese that is made from cow's milk.
So that's the alternative. Okay, I'm learning here. You can eat coconut oil cheese, right?
Yep.
What do you eat instead of sausages?
Instead of sausages, man, there's literally vegan versions of all your favourite food. Linda McCartney's have a vegan range of sausages. And I'll tell you now, man, they're like the best vegan alternative I've tasted in terms of like mock meats and stuff. They even like have the appearance once they're cooked of like proper sausages, and they taste so good. There's no like gristle. There's no, you know, sausages like are just the amalgamation of all the unused ends of the animal. It's pretty nasty stuff. Like,
okay, so I'm actually familiar with what you're saying there about Linda McCartney. I'm aware of that one. Didn't know about the coconut oil cheese. And as for, you know, you can see how limited my diet is. You know, a man who grew up on cheese and sausages, but with regards to breads and whatever that would be, you know, coming from a farm, and the farm would be associated with the production of animals, you would have a difficulty with bread that's sourced like that. So you, how limited are you in choosing other foods and cereals and whatever?
Not as limited as you might think. But even that mindset of limitation, I don't think that's the, from my sort of perspective since I've learned, people always say things like, can you eat that? And it's not that I can't eat it, because that's a sort of lack-based mentality. It's that I don't want to eat it if it's contributing to suffering. And I think that's the mentality that we need to be more open to, and to be like, well, where does my food come from? You know, and sort of where can I source the alternatives? But it's getting easier and easier every day to live, you know, this natural sort of lifestyle, because, you know, products are coming out, new products are coming out every day.
And okay, and give me a few examples, just briefly, of how you populate your plate.
How I populate my plate? Okay, so we can have pastas. We can have beans, we can have, there's these things called tofu, seitan, and tempeh, which are soya-based and wheat-based proteins that are retextured to be like meat. So I know that a lot of people transitioning will go the mock meat route, because it's like they still have that craving for the meat texture and the meat taste, and you can marinate it to taste whatever way. It's just a matter of doing a little bit of homework, but So I would still eat like regular meals that everyone else eats. You know, I still have the beans, peas, potatoes, carrots, just all the good stuff, but just the vegan versions of it.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
Healthier.
Okay.
You know?
You're selling it well. Thomas, thank you. Right. Good morning. 90-333-105. The day is flying by here.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
Well, the fire service across in England, they rescued the pigs, and 6 months later they were invited to a party where they ate the pigs that were barbecued. It's such a known goal for the fire service. They've taken it down from their website, from their Facebook page. But anyone who's got some sympathy for the life of a pig has been giving off about it. William's got a point. Good morning, William.
Hiya, Frank. How are you?
Very good, William. Go ahead.
No, I've just been listening to what's going on this morning about the pigs and whatever, and the vegan way of life and all that there. First of all, each to their own, you know what I mean? I'm not going to try and preach to anybody what they should and shouldn't be eating. You know, but I think it's more regarding education with the young children. From a young age, now my two are in their 20s now, from a young age I told them from day one where food comes from, what that used to be and so on and so forth. Let them make up their own idea on what where food is and what it is. But it's also telling them to respect the animals as well, you know, to give thanks to where your food's come from. It's not just a packet of sausages that you pick off the shelf, as you said. It's thinking that once was in the field, but it has given up its life so that we can, you know, enjoy it, for want of a better word.
And do the children take that? They think that this is good?
Oh, no. You know, they understood. You know what I mean? It, as I said, if it's educated in the right way, you know what I mean? I think it was Channel 4, what was it, 7-8 years ago, they'd done the program where animals were slaughtered live on air and stuff. And the whole country went in the uproar. But that was just down to lack of education, that the children didn't know that, you know, a chicken running around with feathers was going to be their Sunday roast every Sunday, you know, and there's that lack of respect for that animal. They go to the farm and say, oh, look at the lovely chicken, but it doesn't go into their head, oh, right, you know, that could be my dinner on Sunday.
But would that encourage them to eat the chicken, or would that discourage them from eating the chicken?
It would give them a more informed decision to say, look, I want to be a vegetarian because of that there, or I want to be a vegan because of that there. Or I want to eat the animal because I know where it's coming from.
Yeah, but chances are if you do tell people, see that little cuddly thing, it's going to be killed and we're going to eat it, people will then begin to make a decision against eating it. That could ruin the farming industry.
It could do, you know what I mean? But it's giving the people the choice to make the decision, a rational decision. I understand your last caller talking about the vegan way of life. You know, how much of that stuff is mass-produced by man that they're actually eating, you know what I mean, to make it the vegan way. So it is. And how long is it going to be? You know, where do you get your proper nutrients, your protein, your vitamins from? Are they all going to be a man substitute? you know, you're going to have to get them from somewhere else instead of getting them from the natural source.
Well, these are questions that obviously are generally being answered, but certainly need to be asked. Becky is on this line. Not sure what's on Becky's mind. Some of the topics we covered. Morning, Becky.
Hi, how are you, Frank?
I'm very well, Becky. What's on your mind?
So it's just really, and I know you've moved on, but your two previous stories about NHS and the pressure in the NHS and also about veganism, just wanted to speak on that matter. There's been a huge rise in, obviously, heart disease, cholesterol-related diseases on the NHS, and it's been correlated nowadays to the huge amount of animal products being consumed and the sheer amount of fast food industry, for example, that are pushing animal products onto people's diet, you know, and then people are complaining about, you know, more money needed for the NHS than real. What they don't actually realise is by what they're putting in their mouth, they're adding more pressures, you know.
Are you vegan?
I am indeed, yes. I'm 23. I've been vegan for a year and a half and I've been vegetarian since I was 13 years old, so...
And do you mind me asking you, Becky, because I have no idea what you look like. Are you fit as a fiddle? Are you tall? Are you slim? Or are you are you a bigger girl?
Frank, I'll tell you something. Last September, I was 13 stone. I was eating a huge dairy-based diet, eating cheese every single day of my life. And I went vegan. And I tell you, I dropped 5 stone. I have never been fitter or healthier in my life. I weightlift. I do everything. You know, people have this stereotype that vegans are these wee skinny people. We're not. We are actually, if you walk around the gym, actually there's this girl I used to look at in the gym and think, flip, you can lift some weight. And I went up to her the other day and was talking to her and she's actually vegan herself. You know, this stereotype that we don't get enough nutrients in our diet, it's completely wrong. We are healthier and generally happier people because we are eating this healthy diet that is causing no harm or no suffering to anybody. So I am definitely, since I went vegan, I am so much better.
It's interesting. I'm, you know, trying to visualize what life would be like, and I've touched on it earlier in the program as well, without eating any dairy product or eating any eggs. Some step to take.
Well, Frank, you know, everyone, you know, maybe a few years ago, veganism didn't hear, but recently there has been, I don't know if you walk around Belfast, but, you know, every restaurant, there's vegan menus everywhere. You know, there's a definite rise in it, and it's because it's becoming so mainstream nowadays, and it wouldn't be mainstream without a large amount of people being vegan. You know, it's really not that hard. Like Thomas was saying earlier on, people think when you eat a meat diet that if you went vegan it would be restrictive, but what they don't realise is all you have to do in Sainsbury's is walk down a different aisle. You know, it's such a health, if anything, you know, I am vegan because of the animals, but taking a step back and coming from a health perspective, like a lot of people do, you know, it's such a healthier option to not be consuming this fat and cholesterol is in animal products. We don't get that from a plant-based diet. And what all you have to do is go down a different aisle. There's vegan cheeses. Like Thomas was saying, there's coconut oil ones. But there's also, like, maybe a cheese fanatic who just loves their cheese. There's things like thyme cheeses, which are speciality cheeses. There's vegan sausages. Everything you can think of.
Is there vegan ice cream or vegan yogurt?
There is indeed. They just make it. You know, all the end of the day is, you just make it from something different.
Is that Swedish glass? Is that a vegan?
That's one of them. There's Alpro soya. There's buju buju, which is like, oh, it's incredible. There are so many alternatives. But everything you can think of, there is a vegan alternative. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you're not causing suffering to any animal. And like I said, people say it's hard. You know, I get the excuse, it would be too hard to do that. All you do is go down a different aisle. Oh, it would be too expensive. Like I always say to my friends and family, and especially I'm a student, so a lot of students are concerned about their money, obviously. And, you know, the students would go out and buy a Domino's at £13. I spend £20 on a week's shopping, and that does me breakfast, lunches, dinners and snacks. You know, it's a cheap lifestyle, if anything, but it is a lifestyle, and it's a conscious decision. I, you know, as like I said to you before, before I was vegan, it was... I was unhealthy, I was unhappy, I was sick all the time, whereas now that I've went vegan, I've got more money, I've got my fitness, my health, and I'm happier. And, you know, if you came, for example, on Saturday this week, we're running a thing called Dairy is Scary. It's a part of a vegan group that I'm part of called Be Kind. If anybody is interested in veganism at all, we're called Be Kind. But this Saturday in Cornmarket in Belfast, we're doing a thing called Dairy is Scary. And actually, it's perfect to what we're talking about, because what we do is we bring down all different alternatives that you could, some of us bake, some of us cook, some of us just go to Tesco and buy the stuff, the alternatives. And we bring out a table and we stand at Cornmarket, and it's not funded, it's not anything. It's just literally to educate people and show, because at the end of the day, the problem with a lot of people is they just don't know. They don't know, like yourself, you were saying, asking about earlier on, maybe your typical eating vegan or cheese and sausages, you know, people don't know just how much alternatives there is out there and how easy it is. So
well, I tell you, you sell it well. You certainly certainly do. While I'm listening to you, I was trying to work out where you're from. Are you originally from around Coleraine somewhere?
Oh, no, I'm a Ballymena girl. You know, the typical non-vegan town. But I tell you, I'm from Ballymena and I've moved up to Belfast. And there's obviously a lot more alternatives up here for me.
Okay, it's just you sound a little posh, Ballymena, if you don't mind me saying. That's why I said Coleraine. But really interesting, Becky. Thanks for calling. Thank you.
Not a problem. Bye.
Thank you. There's a woman who's obviously hugely into the idea of being vegan. And I remember, and she is right, she's young, she's 23. I remember if you were on a radio program and you said you were vegan, you know, people would say, God, oh, it's an oddball. You know, and you definitely would have been hairy and thin, and you would have had glasses and, you know, hippie-esque, and probably walked with a hump on your back, you know, like, because you'd be carrying so big of a chip in relation to how people treated you. That's the picture of the vegan of the 1960s. Whereas today, they are all around. They are all around. I wonder, is the farming industry as concerned about developments as maybe they should be? I simply don't know. It's just something I haven't given a huge amount of thought to. You can give us a bell. In the meantime, I'll have a word with Anne. Hello, Anne.
Hello, Frank.
Yes, you have a point to make.
Well, only simply that I have an understanding of where vegans are coming from, absolutely. But at the end of the day, as human beings, we are carnivores. We are designed to eat meat. What we're not designed to do is eat meat in as mass-produced as it is now. You know, if you were to look at hundreds of years ago, meat was something that was of a luxury that you'd only have probably once every few weeks, or maybe even once every few months. But what's happened is, as we've evolved and developed, we now make meat on a mass production in such a way that, yes, it is cruel to animals, in as much that, you know, the experience of cows or pigs in the slaughterhouse is deplorable if you were to see it. Now, I live and work on a dairy farm, and I see, you know, the calves are taken off their mum within 24 hours. And the only distress I see for all the years I've worked on a dairy farm is that the mother cow perhaps experiences some distress for the first 12 hours. After that, they just go back to eating grass. And actually, calves are quite simply a young animal, much the same as human babies are. Any young animal is looking for the person or the animal that's, or the mother, if you like, that's going to give them the food. So what happens, for example, when a calf comes off a cow, I then become its mother, if you like, by feeding them, and it becomes attached to me, a form of attachment. And I do worry sometimes when people talk about that emotional issue, that we end up, as human beings, pushing our own emotional thoughts, our own emotional feelings, and transfer that to how an animal must be feeling. Does that make sense, Frank?
Of course I understand what you're saying, but if you do help to rear that calf, and if you feed it every day, and you fatten it up, and it's a particularly a male calf, and it's going to be going off to the abattoir, do you not feel any connection with that when it's been capped onto the back of the truck?
Oh, no, primarily, the calves we rear are actually dairy calves that, if you like, would replace the ones who become very aged and are unable to produce milk.
Now, but whenever a male calf is born, what do you do with it?
Well, the male calves get sold on to be brought on as beef. And what I don't like, and this is where I can empathise, this is where I do it, it doesn't there is an edge. I have an edge to this in terms of something quite not right. There must be a way of being able to do this differently. There's absolutely no reason why we could not continue producing milk. It's how we produce it that's the issue. There shouldn't be a problem in producing meat, but it's how we produce it and how that slaughter takes place. At the end of the day, we are carnivores. We are predators, as many mammals out there are predators. So what I think what we have to do is find a more sustainable way and a more safe way, if you like, if that's not what word or not, to ensure that animals are dealt with in the way that they should be.
Okay, and I am going to have to leave it there, but I really appreciate your input because it does balance the discussion this morning, considering we had so many people on who claim to be vegans. Thank you, indeed. We never even got a chance to touch on the impact of the global warming and all of that that's associated with the dairy industry, but that is a bigger issue. It's one for a longer discussion. We're talking really today about just the feelings, the general feelings of the animals. So Anne, thank you.